Welcome to the Farm to Table Talk podcast, where we talk about our food system, from what we eat to how it's grown. I'm your host, Roger Wasson. The Death, Sex, and Money podcast, hosted by Anna Sales, is an extremely popular podcast. It's heard by millions. That's why she was a keynote speaker at the Podcast Movement Conference in Chicago. I was there to learn how to improve our Farm to Table Talk podcast. And as usual, I found farm to table lessons everywhere I looked. In this episode, I'm going to share some unique farm to table connections, recognize the best food podcast in the world, find a unique food proposition among 300,000 daily visitors to the Taste of Chicago on the lakefront, and introduce Chicago-based game-changing insights on how food labels will soon tell you everything you want to know about your food and how it's grown. But let's start first with Death, Sex, and Money. The host, Anna Sale, is the best in the business at broaching awkward big questions and hard choices that are left out of polite conversations. I have to admit that she has a lot more listeners than I even dreamed to achieve with Farm to Table Talk. Her Chicago keynote compared developing a podcast adventure to the birth of her five-week-old baby, June, who was accompanied to Chicago by Grandma June. Anna's authentic voice and empathy for her guest really brings the audiences with her and into those lives. So what does this have to do with Farm to Table Talk? Of course, I see connections all over the place. I mean, first of all, table talk is the best way to describe the way most of these conversations unfold. And I see, hear, or suspect food is at least peripheral to all of these conversations. And others must feel that way too, since Death, Sex, and Money is supported by a company that delivers gourmet recipes and ingredients right to your doorstep. In a few minutes, I'm going to visit with another company that's doing the same thing that I bumped into at the Taste of Chicago. But first, one more connection of the Death, Sex, and Money supporters. It included organic cotton products. So a significant share of this audience must have an opinion on even how their cotton in their fabrics was farmed. Well, these food and farming kind of connections find their way into so many successful podcasts. For example, a recent, I think the most recent, Death, Sex, and Money episode is with Titus Burgess. He's from the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and it's an intimate journey of a gay African-American actor with lots and lots of angles to the story. But I find it fascinating that he starts his story with the connection he felt with his grandma and grandpa's small farm in Chickasaw County, Mississippi. And the setup for an important conversation was with fried chicken at the kitchen table. You should check it out. The public is discovering podcasts like this at just an incredible speed. 36% of the population have listened to podcasts now. 21% listen regularly. And when you get to the 18 and 34-year-olds, 18 to 34-year-olds, they're getting so used to listening to podcasts that 32% of them don't even own a radio. You know, we listen more and more on our smartphones while we're exercising or doing odd jobs, or we're in our car, where the average 25-minute commute happens to fit very nicely with the average 25-minute podcast. There's over 300,000 podcasts now, but a relatively small percentage, surprisingly, deal with food. And only one of them is Farm to Table Talk, by the way. But there are some huge podcast shows that feature outstanding production quality and high-profile guests. Since I think that listening to these highly professional, entertaining podcasts are best accompanied with our own Farm to Table Talk when you're talking about food, I'm going to share with you the names of those that were nominated for the best food podcast. And then, envelope please, we'll name the winner. First, let me explain that the big differences among the podcasts. Podcasts like this one are kind of simple, usually interview format, while others are very big NPR type productions. These big productions have engineers, producers, talent, stringers, studios, and very sophisticated equipment capabilities. It's not a coincidence that many of these very large podcast groups are loaded with former or current public radio personnel. The vast majority are independent with a passion. These small ones I'm talking about now that are the vast majority. But they at least possess a passion for certain ideas and perspectives that they get to share in their own podcast. But for the podcast answer to the Academy Awards, and that took place in Chicago, the big productions, they were the dominant ones, and they are very, very entertaining. And there are so many different categories. I couldn't believe all the different categories of podcasts and the quality shows that are available to us, more than I've been able to find. But if you're like me, you're particularly interested in things related to food. And so I really zoomed in on the food-focused ones. And so here are the nominees. I'm going to tell you the nominees for the best food podcast. Now, you might want to jot these down, try to remember a few of them. If you don't already check them out, you might want to check them out. So here they are. These are the nominees for the best food podcast: Bon Appetit, Burnt Toast, Food Nonfiction, Gastropod, Spilled Milk, Sporkful, Dinner Party Download, The Feed, Splendid Table, and The Whiskey Cast. And you ready for this? Here's the winner. And the winner is Dinner Party Download. Now, I had never listened to Dinner Party Download, so I did what I'm going to suggest that you do as well, and that is open up your iPhone podcast app or Stitcher on Android and search for Dinner Party Download. They're great shows. They have intelligent table talk, cocktail recipes, interesting food, celebrity guests, wine selections, and the music to listen to at the party or on your way home from the party or while you're doing the dishes of the party that you had at your place. Of course, I'd notice that they could use a little more farm-to-table connection. So listen to the best food podcast, which is Dinner Party Download, and then chase it down with a listen to farm-to-table talk. And that brings me back to A Taste of Chicago. Because at the same time this event was going on for podcasters, Taste of Chicago was taking place. It's a huge event. Over 300,000 people a day make this free visit to this park, which is between the Loop and the lake, for the food and music that Chicago is known for. So at the break from podcast movement, I made a break myself to see what Taste of Chicago is all about. There's no charge to go in, but you do have to open any bags for security checks. And then you purchase drinks and food coupons. I can vouch for the Chicago-style pizza, with extra tomato sauce, of course, and spicy Polish sausage, sweet potato fries, pork slider, and Goose Island IPA. Yes, this is my confession. I ate all of that. And so, from that personal experience, I'm also going to suggest that next year there should be a booth or a tent offering Tums or Pepto-Bismol, because the food kept reminding me that I was mixing things that perhaps I should have held back a little bit. But I kept looking for connections between the food and the farmer. And I was ready to give up until, walking out, I ran into a handful of very polite promoters of healthy food. And they were wearing aprons that said Hello Fresh and carried iPads to enroll the guilty sausage eaters like me onto the healthy food wagon, or maybe back onto the healthy food wagon.
Well, Farm to Table Talk is an interesting place to talk about Farm to Table today, and that is at the Taste of Chicago near downtown Chicago, and the whole city's coming out to try foods, and I have to admit, I've been trying some delicious foods. Not all of them that healthy, but I've got somebody that has some really healthy foods, and it's kind of an interesting surprise to find here. And Frank, you're with HelloFresh. Tell me, what is HelloFresh?
Well, HelloFresh is the world's healthiest farm-to-table food delivery kit. So what we do is we like talking to people, giving them the best information possible about what we do. We actually source from your local area, getting you the freshest possible ingredients. There's no GMOs in any of our ingredients, and we also, all of our beef is grass-fed, and it's all free-range, and everything is humane and healthy.
Now, Frank, I have to wonder about this crowd. I mean, I'm out here with, I don't know how many people come to this thing. Do you know?
Yes, it's about 300,000 people per day walk through.
Wow, that's a lot of people. And they, most of them in there where I just was, don't seem like they were that interested in trying to find healthy foods tonight anyway. I had a sausage dog and I had a slice of some delicious pizza. I had some sweet potato fries, and I had a Goose Island IPA. Uh-huh. And so now I needed to at least talk about healthy food. So what do you run into when you get people, they're all on their way in here to make a beeline to the beer tent and sausages, and uh-huh. How do they react when you say, I'm here to talk about healthy foods?
Actually, you'd be surprised. A lot of people, they're more concerned about their health and what they eat these days. And one great thing about HelloFresh is our meals, each one of them have that five vegetables or fruits. Each serving is in every recipe. So you get your daily requirements every day.
Well, now, how does it work exactly? So somebody signs up and said, I want to, would they subscribe? And
yeah, so what it is, it's a very flexible subscription. So what you would do is create a profile with us while we're on the street, and then you could pick three recipes. Each one has 2 to 3 servings. Now, there's different boxes. There are some people that are vegetarians. We offer that also. And then there's family boxes for more servings for your family. But then you would get 3 recipes, and each one of those has 2 to 3 servings, like I was saying. So you get about 9 meals per box. That's the classic box.
So you're telling me that these folks that look, again, like they're making a beeline to get the Polish sausage and Goose Island IPA, they'll slow down and they'll take an interest in that, and they're interested in making sure that they're getting healthy foods. And you're giving them, what, a card, or you're giving information?
No, yeah. What we are doing is we're giving them information and giving them the opportunity to create a profile while they're here with us today. So that way they could try it out. They would go home, download the app, take their time with it, and then pick out the recipes and get a box in about a week or so.
So you actually offer me an opportunity to fill out an iPad, and that's how we got started talking.
Yeah.
And on that, I could identify the kinds of foods that I like, and then
you put it
together, and then you can say, okay, how does it come to me? Say, if I did go ahead and sign up,
right,
and I told you what I wanted, what would I get?
Okay, so say, for example, like Jamie Oliver is one of our people who designed the recipes for us, if you guys are familiar
with him.
Naked
Chef, if anybody doesn't know him any other name.
Right, and what we would do, so they would pick out a recipe, and I would explain to them that we source all the ingredients from their local area, depending on their zip code, getting the freshest possible ingredients to you. So there's no warehouse of food. It's farm to table, very much like a gourmet restaurant.
So we're in Chicago right now. I told you, I live in Santa Cruz, California, and we've got a lot of farm to table around us in Santa Cruz, California. But is around the country, are there areas that you're also sourcing local food?
Yes, absolutely. We have just got a really big investment so that we can source all of the United States, except it's the continental United States. We are not currently serving Hawaii and Alaska, but we are looking into doing that as well.
So if I signed up and I'm in the San Francisco area, for example, and you could source foods from around the San Francisco area, how far would it have to go to still be considered local? Is there a limit on how far is local?
Well, yes. Actually, we do go, and we have checked every source that is in the continental U.S. to make sure that everything they do is GMO-free and it's healthy and humane, and we would source from your local area as close as possible to you.
Now, what about organic? Do you do organic?
Well, see, now here's the thing with that. We tried to do organic, but there's just such a demand for this. There is not enough growers to actually do that. But that's why we've gone and made sure that everything is as healthy as you can get, because we want everyone to try this out.
Yeah. Well, we've had some people on the podcast that are in the organic industry, and they've made the point they need to have more people producing organic to be able to keep up with the demand. Well, it's an exciting story, and you said you've had somebody like Jamie Oliver involved in putting together what makes sense, and that includes in all the different types of foods, like Mediterranean or Indian or
Italian. Absolutely, yes. Every kind of ethnic background is pretty much covered. See, I like to try new and different kinds of foods. I have this myself, but I wouldn't necessarily know how to put, let's say, a Thai food dish together. And with this, they would send you the ingredients with it, the step-by-step instructions with videos, and it has all the spices that you would need. Like, I wouldn't necessarily have sriracha on hand for me. It would send me exactly what I need for each recipe.
Frank, I'm curious, what's one of the interesting comments you've heard so far when people coming through and you're telling them, here's what we're here to talk about? I mean, some, I suppose, is like me and say, oh, come on, really? But what are some of the things that you think is kind of interesting that someone said to you when you've been out here at the entrance to Taste of Chicago?
You know, a lot of people get really excited about the fact that it is all farm to table, and they think it's a really well-designed app, and that way they don't have to worry about what they're going to feed their family the next day or the next week. It's kind of taking care of them, that for them. Like, see, I'm a very busy person, and I don't necessarily have time to go shopping, so in that way it helps me. But there's a lot of great benefits. It's not just food. We're actually building a community.
So I'm curious too. Does anyone care about the farmers that you're getting? Do they ask you about what farmers?
All the time. Sure. They ask, well, what sources do we get them from? And what we say is, you can, with the first box, you will see there's a label on the box that will describe where each of your recipes are coming from.
Well, before I ask about how consumers can do more about this, if a farmer wants to become a supplier, can they contact your company as well?
See, now I'm not on the supply side end of things, so I wouldn't know for sure, but I'm sure there would be some kind of way to do that.
Well, let's just wrap up. I mean, again, it's talking to Frank with HelloFresh at the entrance to the Taste of Chicago, and Frank, really appreciate you taking some time. Well, one final thing. I mean, where should people go if they want to get more information about HelloFresh?
The best source is HelloFresh.com.
Well, thank you. It's great to have this trip to the Taste of Chicago and Farm to Table Talk. Frank, thanks for talking to us about a unique program telling people about getting healthy foods as they're on their way to having a Polish sausage sandwich.
All right.
Well, now back to the Podcast Movement Conference. I give a high rating for them for everything except the food. I'm used to attending the Food and Nutrition Conference, the EcoFarm Restaurant Show, International Pizza Expo, Moses, FMI, Institute of Food Technologies, and others where mostly delicious samples of food were everywhere. And you got filled up eating meals on kind of one toothpick sample at a time. Of course, downtown Chicago isn't lacking for good food choices, often with a farm source reference. From that headquarters hotel at the Hyatt Regency, they have an American craft restaurant, and they have an invitation to eat seasonal, drink local, and farm to table. And then Banterra's restaurant, which is kind of around the corner, and it's across the street from the Wrigley building, they source their lamb from Wisconsin lamb producers who have to use a mobile processing facility. There aren't as many packers available. For some of the small farmers, especially lamb producers, they don't have available to them a packing plants that they used to have. In fact, these connections just keep on continuing, because I also had a chance to have lunch at St. Lou's, which is on Lake Street, and it is a former packing house, although they're no longer doing meat packing at that place anymore. Another one you thought might be a connection is the world famous Billy Goat Tavern, but they don't really serve goat. That name has to do with the Billy Goat curse that seems to have revisited the Cubs of late. If you look around, you're going to see that there are a lot of restaurants and companies like the one at the Taste of Chicago, or the company advertising on Death, Sex, and Money, that see a market for providing consumers with healthy food with a story. And often that story is about how their food has been raised. Who's the farmer? Where does he farm? Do the animals have room to move around? Are they fed antibiotics? And even what type of genetics was used to produce the seeds? Of course, this last question is big in the news now because as of July 1st, it's the law in Vermont that food labels should indicate whether that food was produced with genetic engineering. And if you're to believe what you read on the internet, some food companies have stopped shipping some food and beverages into Vermont already, so Vermonters may have to slip over the border to score a favorite beverage or food from more lenient Maine. So I think that the food industry has certainly been successful in impressing congressional leaders that it'd be a disaster if every single state had its own laws on what information is to be used on food labels. And of course, the controversy is what exactly is out there and how is that information made available? Well, we're really going to take a close look at all this because the time is ripe right now. There's going to be so much floating around on this. In our next episode of Farm to Table Talk, we're going to take a very close look at the implications of action by our own Congress on the future of providing consumers with what they want to know about their food and how it is grown. But to set the stage, I asked Patrick Moorhead of Label Insight, who's going to be our guest in the next episode, to tell us what it is that consumers want to know about their food.
The answer to the question is consumers want more of everything. What I see is that every single living human being has a horse in this race about what is in the food that I'm putting in my mouth. And there is an overwhelming and now documented on our part from research desire for consumers to have better, clearer, trustworthy information about their food products. And they're at war trying to get this information. So for me to be at Label Insight and be part of a team that is building an engine to solve a real consumer need and a critical consumer need that impacts people's health at the allergy and heart health and there's all kinds of implications for this thing. That is a life-changing, a world-changing endeavor to be on. And it's fundamentally different than, I think, Silicon Valley startup technologies that are interested in kind of creating gimmicky trickery to sell advertising and sell their stock price. But we are a purpose-driven company, and the purpose is to create better transparency relationships and trust relationships between people and the food they eat.
Thanks for joining the Farm to Table Talk podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and subscribe to listen regularly on SoundCloud or iTunes to Farm to Table Talk.